Welcome to Podtacular episode 236 for October 6, 2010. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm your host, forget to say the title, Brent Gamer.
You want?
I'll do it.
Oh, I intentionally left the title out.
Oh, okay. Then don't edit this out, just keep going. We're joined today by...
I am Keith.
I'm CM Near.
And I'm Midget Dance.
Yay! We finally got through.
Is our title just that ironic that you couldn't like say it? Like
I could have.
Is the irony just too much?
Spartans never die.
Yeah. Is that like a joke amongst like ODSTs that are super? Yeah, guess what? Spartans never die, huh? Yeah, what about that noble team, huh?
Yeah, we got on video on his helmet cam. We're gonna hook it up. Hey, everyone, what?
Hey, man. Hey, everybody, gather around. We're gonna watch a noble team die. Come on.
Oh, she just got shot in her head.
They all just bust up laughing when she gets shot. See, we're already in spoiler territory, you know?
See, that was the worst death ever. That was the worst death that you could...
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But right now we need introductions.
Yeah. You're going to have to edit right in the beginning and put spoilers immediately.
Oh, we already said this is going to be spoilers.
We've warned people for like 2 weeks now.
If you haven't played it by now, you're not a Halo fan.
Exactly.
They're even about to roll out the matchmaking campaign. Campaign matchmaking?
Yeah, it's coming out next week.
Ooh, that's going to be
awesome. Obviously, Bungie thinks that the statute of limitations on spoilers is up. So.
That's a good point.
So do we.
Well, we said 2 weeks.
I think you could talk about whenever, as long as you say spoilers.
Yeah,
spoilers. No, we don't have to say spoilers now. It's past the two-week deadline that we've established. At Podtacular.
That's like saying spoilers for Snape kills Dumbledore. That happens, by the way.
Yeah, Soylent Green. Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Oh my god, really?
Bruce Willis was actually a ghost.
That was a big spoiler.
Thinking. Other great ones of all time. The Village is actually set in the modern day.
Okay.
Shit, I didn't see that one.
That's the two Shyamalan ones.
Yeah.
Last Airbender sucked.
Oh, yeah, and water kills aliens. Swing away.
Don't get started with M. Night Shyamalan, please.
M. Night Shyamalan ding dong.
It's Shyamalan. Okay, go.
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 Do what?
So, Keith, what do you do? What's your website? Tell us about your podcast. Cool.
Does he really need an introduction again? He's been here like 10 times.
I'm saying in case somebody didn't hear it that time. I mean,
I'll just give the website.
Just listen to every episode.
That works.
Yeah.
TheRunningRiot.com.
Okay, and we can expect Live. Like...
How do you spell running? Is it two N's or one N?
Two. Three N's, but just not right all not next to each other.
Thank you.
Right. I'm working on, I don't know, maybe December, the next show. I'm trying to upgrade all my equipment to make a high-def presentation.
That's cool. So,
That's all I really got to report right now. I'm taking it easy. I'm trying to play a lot of Reach because I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. I don't blame you.
So that's really...
I get.
Yeah. 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 It's a tribute to the fans. So I'm enjoying this right now.
Good.
That's good. I think we're
glad you are. Yeah. I hope we're all enjoying it. Like
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you enjoying the most?
I enjoy firefight matchmaking a lot.
Very nice.
I enjoy single shot weapons. I originally hated them in the beta, but I've grown to love the DMR and needle rifle.
Very good.
Pretty cool. I I like loadouts. I like the armor abilities. Those are awesome. Some of them are. I'm getting annoyed with armor lock a lot. I've been noticing in a lot of program. It's just getting to the point where in any situation where you'd be killed, you just armor lock. So it's just making these kind of stalemate situations where everybody's standing around and then teammates just run in for the kill. But and it's also annoying when you stick somebody and then they go into armor lock and they get out of it. They like get
It's like they escape the stick. It doesn't make sense.
There was a dude that got like 24 kills in a Team Slayer game against us. He was an opponent, and he just ran around with the sword on countdown. And he had armor lock, and every time I'd try to stick him, because he'd lunge at me, and I would stick him instinctually trying to kill the sword guy. And he would just armor lock and get out of the stick.
What kind of game type was it? Team Slayer or Rumble Pit?
Team Slayer? Yeah.
See, Team Slayer, once somebody armor locks, you got to tell you, I always tell my teammates, let's gather around this person, or come to me when I'm armor locked. So that, you know, you can... I always feel like it gives you an advantage to have your teams catch up with you so you don't get killed.
Half the time, though, I don't play with my mic.
Okay. Well, that negates it, all that. I just
for what? Okay. No social stupidity for you?
There will be.
I happen to like them.
It just seems like it's more powerful than the other armor abilities.
Like it can it's a be, but
choice. I mean, except in special circumstances when you're trying to do something sneaky. Like, I mean, sometimes I use hologram if I'm just screwing around or if I'm really trying to do something cool. Like, I've had situations where I would sit near the flag on hemorrhage, waiting for someone to come steal it, and I would hologram out in front of the flag, and they would try to assassinate it, and I just run up and assassinate them. So,
yeah.
I mean, it has its use, but armor lock
and team snipers probably.
I think they're all the abilities have the right, using them all at the right times and even in the right parts of the game.
But it just seems like armor lock just has much more utility than all the other ones. Because if you're running out in front of a bunch of vehicles, armor lock's great for that. Because if someone tries to splatter you and you're armor lock, they're just going to explode. If you're running out playing Team Slayer, armor lock's great for that because you can't get stuck, and if you're ever in a bad spot, you just armor lock, and they're standing there. If they just stand there and don't have a teammate around and they're close enough, their shields go down and you just pop them in the head, they're dead. Yeah. And usually, if you got a good team, if you're armor locked, they'll come and help you out. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's great
for... spoiled now to use armor lock because of sprint. I feel like I'm so slow if I'm not using sprint.
I know, that's
sprint. It's good for returning flags, too.
Sit on a flag. Sprint is pretty much the only thing I use, and then jetpack on levels that are acceptable for it, like sword base. But yes. Other than that, the only thing I use is sprint.
Yeah, I kind of use the mobility armor abilities almost exclusively. It's either sprint or jetpack.
That's a style player type of thing, though. That's what they were going for, in a way, you know? Because I'm more of a close quarter combat guy, so I'm using armor lock. I'm using hologram. I'm using. I don't use jetpack. I use sprint only in certain maps, but I'm mostly not using those. Everything you guys are like mostly using, I'm not. I don't know what kind of combat you guys do, but I'm close quarters, and those are my abilities that I like.
Right. I don't know, but hologram stuff is, at least for me, 9 times out of 10, I can tell it's a hologram.
Yeah.
That's just that
the invisibility, I just find it works against you more than it helps you.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, the radar.
Yeah.
That's the only problem I have with armor, or the invisibility, is that you just get mixed up on your radar.
You gotta move super slow for it now, too.
Or just sit still.
Objective. Yeah.
Yeah.
Objective, it works.
The drop shield is helpful, though. I will give that one.
Yeah, I've had situations where it's helped me out. But I've noticed that it also blows up pretty easily. You can destroy a drop shield pretty
easily. Yeah, but sometimes you just need that split second to help you, and
right.
That's what counts.
Yeah, but in those situations, I've found that in situations where a split second is necessary. Armor lock's better.
Well, if you need to protect an objective, you can't hold an objective with armor lock.
Yeah, but you can like use a drop shield right next to the territory or whatever the boundary
is. Yeah, there's that too.
I've had territory matches where I just stand right outside the fucking territory and lay down a drop shield.
Is it just me?
Did they take that out for territory?
I don't know. I think I played a match like that.
I've seen it in there still.
Yeah.
Oh, they took out something for the I don't know. It was the last.
Took out sprint out of something. Oh, that was firefight. Never mind.
Oh no! They took out drop shields for territories.
What the heck?
Oh, out of the entire game type.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I can see him doing that because it was kind of getting to the point where it was
just a drop really upon effective everybody. Exploit. Everybody does drop shield or a couple, and you get that thing's pretty big. That drop shield.
Oh yeah.
Is it just me or does the evade on the Spartan just look really weird?
Yeah, it looks weird, but I don't notice it that much.
Functionally it works, but it just feels.
I think really you're used to seeing the elites do it. So
yeah,
that's one.
The elites, it just makes sense.
It did. It did. I guess it's an ability. So I did. It did because that's the way it introduced it to us. I understand what you're saying, but it's like, why not? Why wouldn't the Spartans have a vein? You know?
Right. Yeah. It's like, but I'm just thinking they could have done a better job at making the animations look a little more realistic.
Well, I don't know how you can make that animation look human. Because
Evade was the elite version of Sprint.
Right. It was.
It was that, well, that was in the generator defense, so the network test in the beta.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that was the only time we got Evade.
Yep.
For stuff like that, I got to just suspend my disbelief for a while. Because, I mean, think about it. Back when you would flip over a tank, and it would just kind of flip into the air. You ever had a scorpion flip over and you had to flip it back up?
Yeah.
They don't even have an animation for that. It just flips. Like, you hit a button, right. You just see it flip over. Like,
you do a hip thrust.
As an animation.
It's a hip thrust.
The Spartan kind of teleports over.
Right.
He just does a little samba, boom, and he hits that thing.
I've just noticed that the jetpacks give me an extra dimension of mobility that I really enjoy. Like, height is no longer an issue. If I want to get somewhere, just jump up, hit, and activate the jetpack and get over there.
Right.
The
jetpack's really nice.
At the same time, I think it puts a bullseye on you.
If you don't know how to use it.
That's right.
True. Well, and it also.
I think that goes for every armor ability, though. You're talking about every armor ability, though. If you don't know how to use it and don't use it at the right time, then.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just strategy, though. That goes for. Not necessarily even armor abilities.
Well, that just goes back to Halo is about skill.
Right.
I mean,
yes.
It's always been about skill.
Well, it's always been about skill, but it adds another level of strategy that fits well into Halo, I think. The armor abilities, I think, is definitely a nice layer. Like just like equipment came in with Halo 3.
Right.
I think it fits.
Well, it adds so much variety to gameplay. There's so much going on going down on the battlefield now. I mean, I've had times when I didn't know whether or not to splatter somebody with a ghost because I didn't know if he had an armor lock. So I would have to either wait until they didn't see me coming or just shoot them down. But.
Right.
I think that's the, besides the jetpack and all the other abilities, you don't know what ability somebody has until, I mean, even if you look on their back, I mean, if you could tell the different colors or all that, you don't know what loadout that person has. Maybe the weapon will tell you, but.
Well, you can tell the jetpack. That's the one thing
that's the only thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
The jetpack gives away everything. You're loud. You make that noise. You can hear it all the way across the map.
Cool noise, though.
It is cool.
Indeed, it is. So I guess we should introduce our other two guests, since
haven't done that yet.
No, since Keith got an introduction, we have CM Near and Midget Dance from Near Productions. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
So, how is the land of Halo Reach Tricks treating you guys?
Good so far. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's actually quite a bit of them, which is good.
Yeah, you're up to what, episode 12 now?
Yeah, uploading it right now.
You guys are like machine. I'm telling you.
Yeah, man, just pumping them out.
Oh,
I don't even remember what episode 12. Skip a beat.
And I actually was invited to be on their latest show.
Cool.
So,
which is episode 12.
It is.
Which is airing tonight.
Very nice.
Tonight, 8 p.m. Central. Oh.
Early bird.
Oh, yeah, that Revenant thing. Now I remember. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was... How did you even find that?
There was this racing map that I was playing on. Because Chris said, go find a racing map. And didn't tell me why.
Oh.
And it takes 20 minutes to do it. And my friend joined, so we just put down a Revenant and decided to try it.
Right.
And there was a disc, and we just went flying and died. And you're like, what the hell? So I guess Revenants don't work with discs in Halo Reach. Yeah. It's weird.
Oh, they seem to... Seemed to work fine with me when or with all of us when we tried it earlier.
It was glitching sometimes.
Sometimes, but not on a consistent basis.
It's very inconsistent.
Basis.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very consistent basis.
When it works, though, it's cool as hell.
Yeah, because you go flying like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, who else wouldn't want to go flying like crazy in a vehicle?
It's amazing.
Most of the times, though, when you actually got it to work, though, it exploded.
Yes, yeah, shoots straight up like a rocket and leaves a trail.
Yeah. Which happened a few times. Oh, gosh. That was...
Chris, what was that video you just made? The, not the tricks. What was the one that you just came out with?
The Forge Hub?
Which one?
No, before the
Forge Hub.
Yeah, the Machinima.
Was it in Halo 3? Because that's the last one that came out. The Once More with Feeling?
Yes, that one.
I haven't done any Machinimas in Reach yet. I'm working on one, though.
I like those.
Machinimas.
Are you talking about the Once More with Feeling, though?
That's what you just recently released, right? Yes, that's what...
Yeah, a couple months ago, yeah.
No, you... Oh, I thought you released something recently.
I don't think so.
No?
Not with Reach. Not yet, at least.
Let's see.
I did see the Forge Hub one.
Oh, you mean that? That video?
No. I don't mean that one. I thought there was another one. You know what? I'm dizzy with all the Machinimas. Well, even for Reach coming out right now.
Once More with Feeling was only 2 months ago.
Okay. No,
yeah, but that was the Halo 3.
I'm thinking of something else. I know that one, too. I'm thinking of something else. But that Forge Hub video was good, too.
Yeah, we're working on some Reach Machinimas right now, so that'll be a lot of fun. They'll be a lot better than the ones we've done before.
Good. You're pretty good at machinima making anyways.
Yeah, but I'm getting better. So I haven't really hit my peak yet.
Always room for improvement, right?
Yeah, a lot of improvement.
you're not that bad. I wouldn't even say you're bad at all. I'd say you're pretty good.
Well, whenever I upload a video, like a week or two, maybe a month, you know, you look back on it and you're like, wow, I really did that? Oh, I should have done it this way, or I should have done this or that.
I don't know, but you always gotta look at your productions as stepping stones to getting better anyways.
Yeah, that's what they are. Practice.
Yep.
And they're a lot more fun to make than tricks.
As you
have people
before.
That cooperate.
Yeah, you kind of do need those first. But one more thing before we get onto the campaign details, just kind of everyone go through what their favorite part of Reach is right now, whether it be campaign, firefight, specific instance of whatever. Because I know for me, definitely it's the daily challenges are what's keeping me going.
Yep. I love the credit system. I love the inventory system, or the not inventory, but the armory.
Yeah.
Being able to customize your Spartan with all sorts of different pieces. Customizing your visor color. I have a silver visor now.
Yeah. How do you how do you like that over the ranking system that Halo 3 had?
Oh, it's just there's so much better in terms of replay value and making me want to come back to play Reach. Like in Halo 3, the only incentive you had to play a match was obviously for the fun of the game, and then you would get either 1 or 2 XP based on whether or not you won. Right? So, and then it would just increase your rank after that. You didn't get any special armor pieces or anything at your own discretion. They would hand you out little like armor helmets and that katana thing. But there was never any deep level of customization in Halo 3. But in this one, like, they say, all right, here's all this stuff you can buy. We're going to set a price on it. Some stuff is going to be expensive, but you can still buy it in what whatever order you want. If you want to save up, 2 million credits first and never buy a piece of armor, you can go ahead and do that and purchase the the inclement weather armor effect or whatever. But, yeah, I love customizing my Spartan. It's a lot of fun. I've got the close quarters combat helmet on right now with a silver visor and some crazy looking shoulder plates. Not that into the knee guard selection. They're kind of lame. But
I'm looking for more options in the knee guard area myself.
Yeah, but the utility things are kind of cool. The thing you can have on your hip or whatever. Right now,
the utility stuff. Those are pretty.
I got the hard pack. What I didn't know was that once you purchase the hard case, a whole bunch of other options open up for you. So they have like an extra armor plating that you can put there that's like black and stuff and has padding on it, something else. But it's kind of cool. So I'm excited that more options are going to be opened up in the armory later on, as Bungie promised. Once the level cap gets raised.
Yes, the level cap is a great thing. I'll throw that just and I'll back out. The level cap is a great thing so that we can have fun at these periods of time and we don't have to worry about it till later.
Right.
Yeah, I like that too.
We can catch up with other people.
Yeah, I like that a lot because I haven't had a lot of time to play Reach.
Yeah, exactly. You can catch up. They pull that right from... Like, that's almost like a World of Warcraft thing, kind of, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, the robot arm. Have you guys seen the robot arm?
No, and I've heard you talk about it, but I still haven't really seen it yet.
It looks amazing. I love that robot arm.
Like, what's it under? I didn't think you could change arms.
I know, me either, but...
It might be under a wrist.
No, it's on the other. It's on the other one, though. I don't know what it is. It might be a shoulder. I have no idea.
I don't know. How do you access it?
A quick Google.
How do you gain a
Google search? We'll find out.
It's 75,000 credits, and you have to be a lieutenant colonel.
Okay.
That's not too bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it really isn't actually.
No. Yeah, that's pretty good.
For a robot arm.
Yeah. I wonder if it actually improves your aim in the game. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
that wouldn't happen.
No, that's just not Halo.
Well, right. Yeah, I know.
I know you know. I just had to say it.
I know. You know that I'm not... never mind. TV show.
Robot arms are as strong as Spartan arms. Why don't they just make a robot army?
Good point.
Because robots don't have emotion. Prowess of a Spartan.
Oh, like clones versus droids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the whole ethical issue of people being able to make decisions over robots.
You will find that clones can think creatively and are superior to droids.
That's how we tie it into the Terminator universe.
Right.
Terminator.
Exactly.
It'd be like the Jetsons meet the Flintstones or whatever. It'd be great. Awesome crossover.
Okay.
I know this is kind of random, but it still surprises me that it's already been 3 years since Halo 3 came out. It's been that long.
Yeah, I know, right? Halo's been out for almost 10 years now.
Yeah, next year.
A decade of Halo.
We're going to have to do a special show for that one.
The Decade of Halo?
Yeah.
It is one of the most influential game series of the decade.
Yeah, we're actually going to have a show about that, hopefully next month.
Perhaps the most influential new franchise of the decade.
Why would you say new?
Because there were a lot of other franchises that continued to evolve and do well into the...
Mario!
To the
Zelda.
Audience. Mario, Half-Life.
Yeah, those guys.
Zelda, not as much. Wind Waker was great, though. I really like Wind Waker.
Twilight Princess was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking about. Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. A lot of these games were played on Nintendo.
Actually.
I know that a lot of people love Metal Gear Solid, but I really just have no interest in it whatsoever. It's just too much exposition for me. I heard that Metal Gear Solid Guns of the Patriots or whatever has some ungodly amount of cutscenes in it, like hours upon hours of just cutscenes and story exposition. Like, I can't handle it. It's too much.
It's too much? You can't handle
story
it?
Story overload, you know? Too convoluted for my taste.
Yeah, that'd bother me too. If it's in the game, I can do it outside the game. I could deal with the story outside of it.
It's in the game.
Yeah. It's in the
EA
game.
EA Sports.
EA Sports. Sports.
It's in the game.
Awesome.
Oh, you think the guys are gamers here? Oh my
God. Yeah. I enjoy a video game every now and then. You know, the occasional. VG, as I call it.
VG.
That's what we in the game culture call video games.
That's quite clever.
The VGs.
Videos.
Yeah. The VGs.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to play a VG. Yeah.
No.
Oh, man.
Now you're sounding like Elmer Fudd. Oh,
I can't even do an Elmer Fudd on purpose. I can only do it on accident.
Elmer Fudd.
Oops, I'm sorry. I was Elmer Fudd for a second.
So anything else that stands out for anyone with Reach?
I love SWAT with the DMR.
I don't know. That's kind of hit or miss for me. It's like, if I'm not getting constantly spawn killed, it's fine.
Yeah.
Even if I'm winning or losing. But
that's been since Halo 2. You're going to get spawn killed in Halo and SWAT. I mean,
it makes sense when it's like maybe three or four times, but when it gets to being every time you respawn or almost every time you respawn in an entire match, that's just ridiculous.
The issue I have with SWAT is that the DMR is just way too accurate at longer ranges than the BR. The BR had a range to it. If you were way far out in Halo 3, the BR wouldn't reach you. Now, it was better in Halo 2. You could peg someone all the way across the map with the BR in Halo 2, but they really had the spread in Halo 3.
Right.
Halo 2 online.
I know, but the BR 2, you also had the three shots, which kind of, I think, helps because you could do have three chances to get them.
Right. Well, the way you would shoot the BR was drastically different than the way you shoot the DMR nowadays, too.
I know. I like the DMR better, though.
I've noticed that my BR shots had more of a sweeping motion to them.
Yeah, that's true.
Bullets into them and they kind of sway back. But now it's like I have to click with every motion I make. So like, you know, shoot you now, move over to the left while I'm waiting for the reticule to recenter. Then shoot you again, then kind of move over to the right depending on where you're shooting at. If I'm trying to trick you or, you know, juke you or whatever.
Right. Yeah, but that's your own rhythm.
Oh, wait, you don't get them with the first shot?
I'm just saying the rhythm doesn't feel like spot as it did in Halo 3, or even Halo 2 for that matter.
Right, well, I thought it's your own rhythm, though. Like, I thought you had to, with the BR, I always thought you had to be at the rhythm of the gun itself. You couldn't really fire when you were ready. So anytime, like, with the BR, like, if you don't do that rhythm, if you never get that rhythm from the beginning and you're in a BR battle...
You'd always get owned.
You get owned.
Yeah, I know what
with
you mean.
The DMR, it's like, fine, you can actually set the pace of the rhythm and you could catch up.
Yeah, but there's an optimal rhythm for the DMR.
Yeah, but those guys are going to kick your ass. But not everybody's going to have that optimal rhythm.
But that's what I'm saying. It was just different with the BR. I'm saying it just felt better with the BR. I'm not saying that the DMR is an inferior weapon.
Yeah.
I'm saying for the SWAT game type, I preferred the BR.
Okay.
Now, in other game types, I'm starting to like the DMR better. Because, like you said, it does have its own rhythm. You can set your own rhythm, and it makes the game even more skill-based in theory.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I do have a preference for the DMR, though. Although I didn't think I would, but apparently I do.
I hate it.
It took me a while to figure that out.
Beta.
I didn't think I was going to like the DMR for SWAT, because I like doing the sweep, but I don't miss a sweep at all. Because I always get them on the first shot.
It's hit scan now. So.
Well, and also the DMR has the 3x zoom instead of the 2x zoom, which I find that kind of a big factor whether or not I make a shot or not.
Yeah.
And plus that inner reticle helps.
I'm going to ask a question now, and I want to know if anyone else has this problem. Does anyone else aim so hard in SWAT that they accidentally zoom in and then they get killed because of it, like, all the time? Or is that just me?
Okay.
I do that occasionally, not that.
But I don't do it often.
No.
I know what you're talking about. You move the stick too hard and it pushes it in.
Yeah.
You zoom in, but I don't do that very often. I'm very gentle with my movements.
He's
very very precise.
That's what she said.
Just call me Gillette, you know.
The
best a man can get.
Smooth.
The best a man can get.
Sorry. Is it my turn? Because I was going to talk about the best feature in Halo.
Yeah.
In Halo Reach.
Yeah, go for it.
And it has it's a segue nice from what Midget Dan said.
Is it Forge?
Nope.
Is it
the best feature? Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Yes.
I'm waiting. I'm excited. I'm pumped.
Clench protection.
What?
Like your butthole?
Is that like an underwear feature? Like something they'd have on the outside of like a Hanes package. It's like clench protection.
Clench protection, yes. You're hearing that right.
Explain
to us what this clench protection
is. I need to know.
Well, if you're in your Xbox right now, go to controller, menu, controller, press A.
Okay.
Go down to clench protection.
I can't. My batteries are dead.
Oh.
Help against accidental stick clicks. Oh my God! Why did I not know about this? Oh my God!
Oh,
this is amazing.
Wow.
Really?
This is about what Midget Dance's problem, and I have the same problem.
Dude.
I didn't know they had that.
You.
I love you too.
I knew it.
I like how half of us are on our Xbox right now looking this up.
No, I wasn't on Xbox while we were doing this. I just turned it on that fast.
So that, it doesn't work all the time, but it works a lot of the time.
My God.
That's because what happens if you intentionally mean to scope in and it scopes you out?
It doesn't really. It doesn't really do that. It never. When you do want to do it, it does it. But it doesn't always protect you from. Because this is my problem. Like I said, I was a close quarter combat guy. So when I have the shotgun, sometimes I get so excited I squeeze everything on my fucking controller so because I blow this person away.
Okay, so it probably
you.
So it probably zooms out based on whether or not you're.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it zooms in, and then I lose track of everything. With the shotgun, you don't want to have any kind of zoom. You want to be wide lens. So this is – I looked online. A lot of people have this issue. I didn't – it wasn't just me. You just – so if you squeeze a lot of buttons at one time, it won't do the zoom if you have it enabled.
Okay.
That's actually a really good feature.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, that's my favorite.
I've always had this problem in SWAT, and it's gotten me killed at least 10 times today alone.
It's supposed to help it with that too. With the
Thank
zoom.
Thank you so
accident.
Much.
You know, your mileage may vary.
Your mileage.
So don't start. Don't start. You know, praising me yet on that one.
I'm never going to die in SWAT ever again.
Well, don't put your money on it.
I just put all my money on it.
Not such a great idea.
I never thought I would love earning credits and wanting to buy more. I never thought I was that kind of player.
Oh, no, I'm saving up credits. I'm saving up
credits. Halo Reach. That's another thing I have to say about Reach. I never thought I was that kind of gamer until Reach. Reach got me into
it. And it's not the Bungie style either. They completely came up. It's more of a Call of Duty style almost.
Well, it's also what we're into, though. No, it's not really. It's also what you're into.
But with the ranking where you earn it based on credits and experience points.
Yeah, but with Call of Duty, I mean, I think they're going to switch it up with, what's it, Black Ops or whatever they're calling it now?
Yep.
But in Modern Warfare, you would gain weapons based on your rank. There wasn't a credit system. You couldn't purchase what you wanted. But, I mean, second of all, everything you got from that advancement system had a purpose in the gameplay. None of the shit that you buy from the armory affects gameplay at all. I mean, there's cool it's cool visually. But if you shoot some guy in the face and his head explodes into the little, you know, grunt birthday party confetti and it goes, yay. It's not
gonna
be
yeah,
distraction.
Well, actually, you know what? I find it helps me.
Yeah, I find it
might help locate your buddy if he gets shot in the head.
Right.
Because you'd hear it.
If you have
so that actually affect gameplay.
Well, and also, it I don't know, to me, it kind of keeps a level of sanity instead of, like, if I'm really focused, it's just that extra piece of humor that says, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Because you're really angry when you play, so you're like, yay! Oh,
yay! Yay!
Oh, it's somebody's birthday.
Wait till people get the one that's the pestilence one, where what you stink.
Ooh, yes.
You have that thing. I'm all over that.
I want that one.
I'm sick enough to get the hearts that fly out of my head.
That's cool.
Rainbow.
I don't know. Does anyone know what the pestilent or the inclement weather ones even do?
Probably just has lightning flash around your head.
It's lightning and there's clouds around you.
It shocks that lightning actually flies out of your head and it kills.
Yeah. I could use that for the trick of lightning.
I was wondering if
from the grave.
It disabled banshees.
I was wondering if it could possibly drop shields of someone nearby, almost like an armor lock zap or.
No, I don't think they would do that. That would be.
No, that's well, it's just unfair. What we're just talking about. There's nothing that you could buy that could give you an advantage. And that's what Halo's all about.
Yeah.
It just looks really cool. Like there's a storm.
Badass.
It's got to be mostly even playing field when you go into any matchmaking or anything like that.
Yeah.
That's Halo. They'll never change that. That's the one thing they'll stick to that. So that's why I was always turned off by Call of Duty because, I mean, I'm so used to Halo, so I couldn't just jump into Call of Duty if I wanted to late now because I would be so confused and owned so much.
Hmm.
Somebody could walk in and play Halo. You know, the first, like, say Halo 3. You know, they could walk in right now and they could play and they can level up and play in a comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to do that now than it was in Halo 3.
Well, that's what's great. Yeah. Anyway, I like the. I never thought I would buy credits or save credits. Save
yes, you can buy credits.
Yeah. Oh, you know, people will buy them if you could.
If Bungie, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
There's going to be Chinese credit farmers.
They could pull a Blizzard, sell $25 horse mount.
I wonder.
Do you guys remember that?
343 Industry.
Did I ever mention that?
Are you talking about Oblivion?
I'm talking about World of Warcraft.
I remember that, the horse.
Blizzard Entertainment put out a $25 in-game horse, and it sold 2 million. Not 2 million of it, but they sold $2 million worth of in-game horses in, 2 days.
That was a pretty sweet horse, though.
And it was a horse. It was just a horse in-game.
It was a sparkling,
and they sold it for $25, and they made $2 million off of it in 2 days. There's no telling how much money it's made by now. It's incredible. Think how much Bungie could make by stalling credits.
They could totally do that. I wonder if they ever will sell.
Hey, don't give them any ideas, man.
Yeah, they could.
I don't care if they have that idea. I'm not buying.
You're not buying?
Well, I'm not either.
Nah, I wouldn't buy.
I mean, it's just like the Farmville stuff that people buy.
I wouldn't buy.
I wouldn't buy because it would ruin it for me. The whole point of credits is that I earned it, you know?
That's probably why they won't do it.
I know. I don't think Bungie would do something like that, but I can see 343 Industries doing something like that.
I don't think
I can see Microsoft doing something like that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Microsoft probably pitched that, but hopefully it got squashed. All right, let's not even talk about that. That's actually, I don't want to go there. That's actually would be a little rough.
Yeah.
If that started to happen, because,
right. Well, let's not go there, and let's...
Because I would buy it.
It won't, though. If you really think about it, the whole credit system is not... It's really based on you to play the game, have to spend the hours on the game. They're not going to do that. That's...
Well, you know where they're going to make their money, don't you? The reason they put this into the game was to keep you playing so they can sell you maps later.
That's
going to be awesome.
That's the package.
That's the
I'm
money.
Really looking forward to
no
the next
pun intended board. When I said the package, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're talking about campaign
today. Okay. Yeah, campaign today. The package.
You sly one, you.
So when are we going to talk about the campaign?
Let's talk about it right now.
So, Dustin,
No, we are not going there. We've already gotten that taken care of.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, gosh. Now you have that stuck in my head. Thanks.
Dustin, quick. First impressions.
Okay.
Okay. So, for those of you who haven't played the campaign, we are talking about Everything Campaign. So, if you don't want to know anything...
listening.
Stop listening to this podcast right now.
Even though we've already said a few things for you. I guess everyone kind of knew that Noble Team was going to die, though. I mean, that was the whole point. Remember Reach or whatever.
I mean, if you read the books, you would know.
The trailers even teased at it. Like, he just
said, not necessarily. I mean, there was a possibility that they could have escaped Reach somehow.
Well, and then there was the whole Remember Noble statue thing. I mean, it was obvious. Except there's the whole thing around June not dying because he went with Halsey.
There actually could be two living Noble Team members. Actually,
they're redoing the Halo book, so maybe he'll be in there. Aren't they?
They're not redoing. They just have a different cover.
Oh, I thought they were redoing. Maybe it to just match like, Reach.
I need something.
No.
Later on,
if they redo a book just to make it fit a video game title, that's stupid.
That's what I heard. Someone told me that they were redoing the book so it would match the canon of Halo Reach, the game, because the game was a lot different.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to talk about, because I didn't know if I was just not well-versed in the book lore or if there were just major differences, but I needed to talk about those. There were some major differences. First of all, from what I could tell from the books, Cortana was with Captain Keyes the entire time. They were actually en route to go and destroy the Covenant leadership on the Pillar of Autumn when Reach was invaded, and they had to turn around. So they turned the Pillar of Autumn around, and Cortana was on it the whole time. She was dealing with the ship's tactical.
They actually explained that.
But
not in the actual game. Somewhere else, they explained it by saying that.
Is it a data pad? I looked at those.
No, it's actually in the Halsey journal.
Okay.
Like, it's in the Halsey. That's where it is. It's not Cortana that they're bringing to the ship.
Yeah,
it's like a data dump for Cortana.
Yeah, I was going to say
splinter.
That too.
It's Halo. The specific word used is a splinter. It's Cortana's the splinter of her data stride strip, whatever you want to call it.
Because there was times in the book where Cortana actually split herself up and made copies.
Right.
I think it was the third book. I forget what it's called, but to fight the Covenant AI.
First strike.
Yeah. Was it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. When Cortana was trying to fight off the Covenant AI, she split herself up to yep. make it harder for the AI to stop her. So
okay, so that was just the splinter that contained data on...
Right.
I think it was Halo. The coordinates of Halo.
Right, sure, it was the Halo data.
Well, she had...
I don't know if it was the coordinates of Halo, because from how Halo 1 was set up...
Well, she didn't... I thought the whole point was that she didn't randomize it, really. She set in the coordinates that she had from her data, but she didn't know it was Halo.
Yeah, that's what I... So I think these were the coordinates from Halo, because what I read... I didn't actually read the journal. I read what some guy said about it, and what he said was... The jump to Halo may not have been as random as it seemed, which
and
makes
it really
me think.
Wasn't.
Right, that's
she,
what I'm saying.
She, yeah, she it's not data. Random. She used data. She, it was all right. According to the Cole protocol, it's supposed to be random. Cortana took it upon herself to not randomize it and used all this incredible knowledge she got from the Forerunners, and now we know how it happened in Reach, how she got all this knowledge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She'd use that to not randomize it because she's got so much freaking information in her right now. So she used that. And, yeah, she could call it random. She could call whatever I want. Cortana is a way advanced AI that didn't call it random, but it wasn't random.
I'm glad I have that resolve now because that bothered me the whole time. I'm like, wait,
it is a splinter. That bothered me for a while, too.
A lot of people have. Yeah. There's a lot of conflicts between... some of the stuff, and I think it's just a matter of
it's time
going through.
Stuff.
Yeah,
they tried to explain most of it, like how the Spartan 3s were just like elite Spartan 3s that were given the armor because they weren't expendable anymore as the other ones.
Yeah,
that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, those things are the hard things to plug in the cannon with the you know, as far as what we when they advance in the weaponry and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. the equipment and all that I try to look past that stuff because you got to advance that. That's gameplay stuff that they have to do.
But so, there's still the fact that you have to make the gameplay fit the canon that people are already used to.
And they do. They have a story pretty much for everything. But you know whether you think it's believable or not is you know it's up to you.
When I first heard of Halo Reach, I thought they were gonna do. Like, it following the book and using the characters from the first book. That would have been cool. But this game was really good.
I think that would make a good movie, but I don't know if it would make a good game.
I think that's why they didn't do that, because they're still holding out hopes for the movie. Or at least a small, tiny, tiny part of the reason, maybe.
The game is still, I think, probably the best Halo game.
Yes. I love
best
this campaign.
Best campaign of all Halo games. I definitely say.
Halo 1's campaign is still a classic.
It's classic. That's a different way to describe it. But the best overall campaign?
I mean, would that be because that there's no Flood, or...?
I enjoy not having Flood around. I'm not going to lie.
I think for Halo 1, it was just a nice twist to the story.
Yeah, but then it got real sour real quick. Like, the Flood were great at first, and now I hate them. Like...
I just hate the music that plays every time they show up. That squeaky violin. That
I hate the gameplay. I hate that they're like not tactical at all. They just butt rush it. Like,
yeah,
it's a zombie type tactic.
It's like the zombie apocalypse thing that I just don't enjoy.
I don't like.
I mean, some people
I do like
that, but I don't
love
like
that.
Them.
I love the zombie apocalypse.
I mean that's just not for me.
I don't
I
like
the Flood
because
the
last level on Halo 3 because they get in the way right when you just want to go do the cool driving part. You got to fight through all this Flood.
Right, and whenever you hit one of them, they pop and they make you flip out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for Halo 3, the whole thing with the Cortana flashbacks and the Gravemind flashbacks, that was just ridiculous.
That was especially ridiculous for me because I never played all of the campaign of Halo 2.
Oh, I
played like half.
I hated that level. Are you guys talking about Halo 3 Cortana level?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was the worst level. Mind. I hated that level because of the flashbacks.
Yeah.
It ruined my experience just a little bit to have that happening. It interrupted the gameplay.
Just gets so slow and it's like, wow, I don't even want to save you anymore.
I asked, you know, how is that possible? Like, how can the Master Chief all of a sudden get that in his head and stuff?
Yeah, I mean...
I asked the Ascended Justice guys those that, and it was just like, they had an answer for that, and I was like, f*** you.
you have to be nice to your guests.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm on Podtacular right now. I shouldn't curse like that. I could curse like that at my show.
Yeah, well, Brent makes up for it anyways. I'm sure whenever we get on your show, there will be plenty of it.
Well, you will be.
Wait, we're not supposed to swear?
No.
Not specifically.
No, he beeps them out. He beeps
them out. I bleep them out.
I totally forgot about that.
Oops. Yeah, it's not no biggie, but we
I was a little disappointed with
Keep It Clean.
Long Night of Solace.
The
saber level, yeah.
That was cool.
I like the space battle, but I just always envisioned Reach with like these massive Earth style defense platforms with mat guns and on them, like they had in the books, and these massive refilling platforms that they would have. You know what I'm saying? And you get out there, and it's just like one defense platform that shoots a machine gun. Like they don't even have a mat cannon.
Dang, Brent, you're counting them up. Jeez.
Yeah, they had them in. They made a map for Halo 3 that was the Mac Cannon or whatever. What the hell happened to that?
Yeah.
Money. But
if you remember, on even in Halo 2, when you'd look outside the... which one were you on? I can't remember.
You were on at Cairo Station.
Cairo Station, and you would like see the Malta explode. Like, right. Like there goes the Malta! And, like, you saw all these cool orbital platforms with these huge Mac Cannons on them. And I was like, well, I want to see those around Reach.
Yeah, I guess like Reach wasn't station. As important as Earth.
Yeah.
And that's why I got glass so easily.
Yeah, they were screwed.
Maybe it was like after a bunch of orbital platforms got blown up or something. I don't know.
What? Not long out of silence? No, yeah. It's all right after that. That's when they all show up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know what? You have a picture in your head. And you know what? A lot of that, if that's actually a good point, because before Long Night of Solace was the invasion was all, it was ground-based. It really wasn't much happening in space. It was really, that's the part in the books that, like, in the books, it's supposed to be all of a sudden the Covenant just shows up in space.
Yeah.
There was no talk of all of a sudden there was a cloaked supercarrier in very low orbit on Reach. So, and then all, you know, and but they do talk about in the game that the communications were cut off in a lot of places, actually.
Yeah, the generators got blown out.
Yes, that campaign part where you do the exit. With New Alexandria, where you're flying all around, there's a lot of communication cutoffs everywhere. And they're starting to glass then, too. So, like, it's really starting shit hitting at the fan. So, the place was in communications like hell. So, at that time, the timeline is a long period of time, actually. But when that all starts to happen once they have there. They can't glass the planet within an hour. It takes
episode's gonna be.
Don't worry about it.
I drop a lot of F-bombs on my show. That's why I do it. It takes them a long time to to glass the planet.
Right. Well, there was something online somewhere. Where was it? There was some website that did the analysis of how long it would actually take to glass an entire planet.
They did it in HBO.
I think it was like 30,000 years.
Yeah, it was something like 38,000 years or something like that.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
They talk about in the Halsey Journal a little bit, like glassing and even in the data pads, they talk about glassing is they're trying to tell you what glassing is not like instant glass of the planet. It takes a while.
Oh, that's what it was. It was in a data pad where they were explaining how long it actually took.
Right, it was the data pad, right.
It was the data pad.
Okay.
But, yeah, so.
So I don't get it.
I haven't had a chance to read all into those data pads. I mean, I've like, gone through and found them all, but I haven't read through them all.
I got to be honest. I'll just go to Halopedia for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's no achievement, there's really no reason for you to actually do it.
Actually, there's supposed to be something that's coming out, or this is a theory, coming out later, that if you found all the data pads, it'll unlock something, like a new armor or something like that.
That'd be cool. Does anyone know if there's something like the katana for getting all the achievements or anything else like that?
No, not that I know of. Not
that I'm aware of.
A lot of this is under wraps.
But I mean, a lot of these achievements were really easy to get. It's just a matter of the time, getting time for getting up to captain and getting lieutenant.
I would have to say that Reach is probably one of the easiest achievement games I've ever.
Oh, no, ODST is pretty easy too, except for Endor.
Yeah, ODST is pretty easy too.
Endor was just crazy. I think it took me like 4 tries to get it. That was just one of those.
Which one?
Endor, the one where you play sets on Legendary. Alpha Site for the.
I haven't even gotten that one.
Oh man, you're missing out. You need to get rank up your waypoint level.
Oh yeah,
dude, get some recon in a game that no one plays anymore. Awesome.
Exactly. But yeah. What else in the campaign? Do we just want to kind of run through this sequentially, or because we're definitely not going to be able to talk about everything in a reasonable time period?
What'd you think of New Alexandria? Did you like that city? Was it cool?
It was pretty cool. I like the jetpacking part.
Here's the thing I like about New Alexandria. New Alexandria is how I think Earth should have been in Halo 2. Kind of that real, you know, sterile kind of, you know, bubblegum science fiction style of architecture and kind of it looks like the entire world is an Apple product. For real, think about it.
It did look at that. You're right.
So I really like that kind of art style.
It's a realistic future.
But then again, that's Reach.
Yeah, you know, architecture.
That's this planet.
Yeah.
Where they've developed.
It's a colony. Yeah, there's colony. They build it from the ground up. Modern.
I thought the colonies. From the Isle of Bees thing, they made it seem like the colonies were all like, everyone from the colony was supposed to be a hick, and the colony was like...
Yeah, like they're kind of like Earth was where it was at.
Yeah. Yeah, they made it seem like that, and then Reach is like super awesome.
Well, even if you look at the comics, like, man, what was that comic series they had? It was the Halo graphic novel. They showed a different city on Earth. I think it was still in Africa, and it looked a lot like New Alexandria in the comic.
Did everyone here? Did everyone here see that Easter egg? The nightclub.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
That was cool.
I love that. That was pretty
cool. Club Herrera.
Yeah.
Yep. I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Herrera at the Halo Reach launch party in NYC. Thank you very much.
Wow. Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really a good time. Open bar.
I bet you got to meet quite a few people up there.
A few. Met some bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Frank O'Connor.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Brent's favorite.
Yeah, I like Frank.
Yeah, he was all freaked out about like all the attention he was getting.
Really?
He was surprised that people like him? Like,
yeah. What do you expect?
I know, no, but dude, this launch party was... I mean, I've never been to a launch party for a video game before.
I've never had friends before, so.
I'll live in cities where we have launch parties, so yeah.
This was, it was like, I didn't know what to expect. And this, I mean, the way we got in was a whole nother story in to begin with. But there's like free food, open bar, there was a UFC, you know, fighter there, and like, but this thing was like treated like some movie premiere. It was crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
To some people, that's kind of what it is.
Those launch parties are always pretty big for those.
Yeah, I was surprised to see how much, Yes, and there were chicks there.
Were they like booth babe style chicks? Were they like paid off, you know, to look hot?
Legitimate
or
fan.
No, people who came with people because it's a big event.
Oh, I'm so tired of Armor Lock. I'm sorry. I'm playing in the Rumble Pit right now, trying to finish my daily challenges.
Oh, I thought you.
But yeah, those parties are cool. I've always wanted to go to like a big one, like the main party that they have, like up in Seattle or wherever, New York, those places.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go with us. We've been to the MLG things. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah. But, well, we're going to the one in November too.
Yeah. MLG. But I don't know if Bungie's going to be there like they were last year.
I thought they were, because isn't that the first time that they're opening the Halo Reach circuit?
Oh. Yeah.
That would be cool.
So I would assume there would be some Bungie
representatives
there. It might not be like the ones that we're used to, but there's got to be some kind of Bungie presence there.
Jerome will probably have to stay back and defend Bungie.
Yeah.
Bungie employees and Bungie property.
Yeah, it'd be cool to meet Jerome.
That would be cool.
Hells, and one of the medals actually, I think it's if you kill 15 zombies in a row without dying. Yeah, Hell's Jerome.
Hell's Jerome. Did you see the Mega 64 skit that they did about Halo Reach? And they went out to Bungie and they fought Jerome.
Like, yes.
Brought out the gravity hammer.
Yes. I think I know which one you're talking about.
Oh, they did one?
Yeah. They always do one for they always make a joke that and this happens for real. Like every time a Halo game comes out, you know, the hunting store Cabela's puts out their hunting game.
Yeah.
Like at the exact same date every time. So the Mega 64 guys act like these hillbillies that developed Cabela's. And they're like, damn it, Halo came out again on our date. We're not gonna sell any copies. They did it again. Like,
I saw all the ones except the Reach one.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Pretty funny.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
I love Halo Reach.
What's not to love about Halo Reach? Other than the stupid cover. We'll go on a rant about this earlier, but the stupid ally AIs. I mean, jeez. Come on, Bungie. I thought you had the right better AIs that help.
That must be a continuing challenge.
I mean, maybe the allies only seem so stupid because the enemies are so smart.
The enemies are really smart.
Was it you, Midget Dance, who was complaining about this the other day, or was it someone else? It must have been a podcast I was listening to today where they were arguing. Oh, it was PGR. That's what it was. They were arguing that the AI was basically cheating because whenever you peek behind a rock, like if you barely stuck your head out, like the enemies would start to move sideways, so you wouldn't shoot them, which wouldn't happen in real life.
I thought I heard someone talking about that. Maybe that was Kyle.
It was on PGR when I heard it. I was listening to the latest one this morning.
Oh,
actually, the one from 2 weeks ago. But I think it was Soldier. He was talking about how Bungie has coded the AI is basically they know where you are if you're in any kind of line of sight with them, which I think is kind of stupid. I mean, some of the ways to implement the AI to show that they're smart, I think, is kind of cheating. But the allied AI are still really stupid because even on legendary, they do like short bursts of their gun. Like George would do a short burst of his turret when he can probably take out any grunt if he just kind of held it, and it takes him like five bursts of his heavy machine gun to take out a simple grunt. And then they can never take out a Spec Ops Elite because by the time they're done shooting him, they've only taken out 20% of their shields. And then when the Elite loses shields, he goes hides, get his shields back, and then it's the same thing all over again. So the allied AI is just really, really stupid, in my opinion.
It's always has been. Yes. I think we owe...
Not this badly.
You think it's worse?
I think this is the worst Halo...
I don't think it's worse. I think it's just more apparent because the whole point of the game is, yeah, like I'm saying, the whole point of the game is that you're on Noble Team. You're a team of Spartans. And I mean, it all comes down to your AI, you know? I mean,
so what? Just because we're a team of Spartans,
Master Chief was solo.
I'm heavily relied on? Just because it's a team of Spartans means I'm the one that has to kill everyone.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying it's more apparent. It's always been stupid, but it's just more apparent in this game because it's...
That's a great
it's like,
oh,
stupid
but they're
Marines.
Spartans. I mean,
I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying that's the reason you're noticing it more. It's always been stupid.
Yeah.
You know what?
AI
it's
and Halo. I mean, allied AI has always been really
it's
dumb.
Always been retarded.
Enemy AI has always been really cool.
They
that's
might be doing that
been.
On purpose. Like,
I thought it was on purpose
you know,
with
I tell
the.
You.
Non-Spartans, the Marines, because it's like, right. Oh, they're just shitty Marines. I mean,
oh, the
poopy
Marines.
Marines.
The Marines.
Yeah, this is the reason they need me, because they suck. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
Poor little Marine drives into a rock. It's okay, Spartan will show you where to go.
The other thing is, I don't see how the Marines can take more damage than I can on Legendary.
Oh, I mean, well, that's just, they have, that's a game reasons. You can't tie that to the canon. They,
you can, but you can at least make it to where they're not like semi invincible, like make them at least a little bit weaker, or comparable to you.
Yeah.
Make it sometimes to where like they die really quick, and it's like, oh, that means I'm in danger. I need to go hide or kill this thing really quick.
Sometimes it's part
then
of
it's like,
then it
oh,
the story.
I'm gonna
they're supposed to die at a certain time in the story, so they have to stay alive till then.
Yep. They have dialogue. They have to talk.
Because what if the character dies and you make it in the end, and then he's all of a sudden back to life, you know?
Well, I mean, the Spartans that you need, yeah, makes sense. But
well, here's the thing: if the friendly AI was better, you wouldn't get to kill that much.
It's not necessarily about killing, though. It's about
experience
and story.
You, well, they want you to be able to do most of the kill.
Yeah, I should be able to, but I shouldn't have to.
I think that's fine in an environment
especially
where I'm supposed to be like a lone wolf. I mean, even during the game, they're like, don't give me any of that lone wolf bullshit. Like, we're as a team. Like, but then they expect me to be a lone wolf and just go badass Rambo
on everybody.
It's true.
It does give that impression. You're absolutely right. And when it's game was first announced, I mean, the first thing that hit my head about a team of Spartans was some third-party view. What was that game?
Reach reminded me a lot of ODST, because in ODST you were kind of a team that was divided and you had to find each other. And that's why I was like, oh, this is kind of like ODST, but they did better than ODST. But at the same time, they kind of just reused the same theme.
What was the squad-based game? It was not Halo, not at all, obviously. Tom Clancy.
Rainbow Six?
But that was more of a first-person shooter. It was a third-person shooter.
Like Gears of War? Tom Clancy.
Ghost Recon.
There you go.
So Ghost Recon had that third person view, squad based combat. The first thing I thought it would reach, that's what they were going, you know, to get some kind of different twist on Halo. And we heard it was a team and everything, and then it's like, no, very early on, they said it's a first person shooter. You can't, when you do this first person shooter stuff, you have to, they want you to take out most of the enemies.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have to take all of them out.
It's the drive that sucks.
They take out a couple grunts. Come on, man.
Yeah, a couple grunts. And that's like after 5 minutes. I don't know. Maybe Brent's right. Maybe I'm just noticing it more now. But it seems like they are significantly more stupid than the enemy AI.
I mean, yeah. Kat took forever to close that door in that one level.
Yeah.
What the hell was she doing? It's clearly she's touching one wire to another wire, and it took 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was kind of.
That wasn't impressive.
Yeah, there's what Spartans do for you.
I'm a super elite soldier.
Speaking of Kat, what did you think of cat's just sudden kind of death.
Oh no!
No exposition. Hilarious. No lead up.
Probably one of the stupidest deaths I've seen.
I hated it. I hated it, man.
I mean, you have freaking shields.
But hold on, when you just don't
no,
we know
no,
just somebody
no,
can get
no
sniped.
Excuse, no excuse. Yes, with a needle rifle shot. With shields, that doesn't even make it flash.
Do we know it's a needle rifle shot?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
I mean, look at it. It's a needle rifle shot. There's no beam rifle in the game.
The whole thing was people saying that there is some dialogue saying she said something somewhere where she didn't get a chance to re-energize her shield. So
yeah,
she,
I think that's a load of BS, personally.
I don't know. I haven't found evidence of it, but people are throwing that in there.
Yeah, they said from the EMP blast that everyone's shields got knocked out.
Right. This is one of those things that just...
I don't know. I
hope no one's really focusing on that, because that's...
It just seemed like a stupid way to die.
It's just she was such a cool character, and she died in such a stupid way. It made me mad.
Well, maybe that was the point, I think. I think... You hated
yeah, but
her
not like mad in a good way. Not like mad, like no cut. Like mad in a why? Why did they do this? Like,
well,
I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that when she died that way. I thought it was. I actually thought it was just like I didn't expect in that cutscene.
I actually felt kind of sad. I was like,
yeah, me too.
You knew the deaths had to start somewhere, and now it's just like suddenly the first death.
That was sudden. You could see a lot of the other deaths coming. You saw George's coming. We saw, and actually, that's it. Right before that, it's only George.
Yep. So it's
we
just
saw
like,
George's coming. They delivered damn. George's death. They said, here. Sorry for the F-bomb again.
It's just being littered out throughout the podcast, isn't it?
Yes. They said, here. Here's George's death. And now the next one is like, you're never going to see this one coming. That's what I saw it as.
It just seemed really stupid.
It just seemed tacked on. That's all I had a problem with.
They could have done
just,
something
better. We need to kill her off. So how do we do it? Well, just have her be shot in the head with a needle rifle.
She opened the door. That's all we needed her for.
Even if they showed like the EMP hit, you know, first... Like, right. She gets blasted, like, she falls down to her knees or something, and her shields are all flashing and then, like, she gets shot in the head. That would have been better. I could accept that. But it was just all of a sudden, just, I'm dead. Bye, everybody. You know? Like,
true.
See ya.
And you know what? No words, no nothing. You know? Yeah. I actually could see, I could see that. You're making me think about it now.
Or maybe they should have not shot her in the head so she could have at least said something. Instead of just...
It's weird for a Spartan to go that way,
mark.
Too.
Yeah.
Just a shot to the head.
Anyways.
Okay.
We got bigger fish to fry.
Let's move on to a different topic.
Shot in the head. You knew she was going to die.
That kind of lame sequence where you're shooting the Mac cannon near the Pillar of Autumn. What do you think about it? I mean, I've already made my opinion clear, but what do you guys think?
Easy. It was easy.
Yeah, extremely easy.
It just seemed kind of anticlimactic. I'm just sitting there and, like, these ships are coming. I'm, like, kind of blowing them out of the sky.
Yeah, I would agree.
And it went into that cutscene, and for that second that I kind of sat there, like, you go to shoot it in the stomach, right? I wanted to see that in-game. I didn't want it to pause and go to black screen for 3 seconds and then show the shot hitting the carrier and exploding. You see what
right.
I'm saying?
Right, yes.
I didn't need that as a cutscene. That would have been fine first person, you know, or third person.
Right. It would be all... I'm of the opinion that all the stuff should be first person.
Yeah, kind of a Half-Life style?
Yes. I just love to see that in a game. They don't do that anymore because that's a whole group of people's jobs you cut out.
But it almost seems like it's a personal preference of how a game developer wants to tell the story. I mean, cutscenes is a good amount of the story in a video game.
It's necessary, and it is necessary for some scenes. But there's probably parts where you could still tell the story, and with audio is everything, especially Halo. Halo is the most amazing audio. They could have told that story, a lot of it. They were trying to do that with the shaking camera and stuff, and they did more of it in Reach than they ever did in any Halo game, well, where you actually felt like it, the cutscenes intertwined with your gameplay. But I do like the Half-Life 2 where it's there.
Let me pose an example here of how I think that could have worked. Imagine the scene where George and you are like on the carrier and you've just finished the level and he's about to die. You know, and he like picks you up and throws you out. Imagine that scene happening in first person where you see George walk over to you, like pick you up. You can't move or anything, but you can still
see it in first person, kind of.
Well, kind of, but I mean like not separated from the game. You never go into the cutscene.
You still see a HUD.
Yeah, you still see the HUD stuff, and you just see, and like you get thrown out and you're just kind of floating there, and then all of a sudden you see like the black hole kind of appear where the slipstream was supposed to be.
Right.
Yep.
The slipstream rupture.
Like all from first person. Like
yeah,
I think that would have been
really
cool.
And you feel the rumble controller too. Like you put the shield and maybe you hit. Yes. Yes. I completely agree with you on that. And if this is a minor complaint, by the way, but. Or not even a complaint, a revelation you're making it right now that I wish it was that way, but. That's actually, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Did anyone else hear about the alternate ending that is, people keep saying it's confirmed by Bungie?
Was the thing that was going to be the 19 data pads revealed.
That's what it is?
That's what the rumor is on the Podtac forums.
Oh,
right.
Where did Bungie confirm this?
I have no clue. I didn't even know they confirmed it.
All I keep seeing in comments is, Bungie confirmed it. There's an alternate ending. And I'm like, okay, where?
What?
I mean, what kind of alternate ending is there to the ending that is the last level?
Well, not an alternate ending, like an extended ending, like they would usually have for a legendary ending.
Right.
I don't know what it would be of, though.
See, I thought that somebody would have found it by now, if there is.
I just keep seeing a lot of comments that say that Bungie confirmed it, but I've never seen Bungie confirm it.
I haven't either.
No.
The data pads, maybe.
I think we all keep a close eye on Bungie that we know that's not confirmed.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems a little weird.
Must be one of those things where, like, one kid said Bungie hinted at it, then another said Bungie confirmed it, and then everyone went along with Bungie confirmed it.
You know, that happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Just seemed a little ridiculous.
Thank you, Brent. You got me thinking about the campaign in a whole different way now.
Well, you're welcome. I don't know.
What do you guys think of the night level? It seemed like a good flashback to the Halo 1 level.
The night. Yeah.
When you were sniping?
Sniping, yeah.
Third one.
Yeah.
Third level,
that was cool.
The whole campaign felt like a nice big flashback, actually.
I know, I still love
all the games.
The space battle part. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was probably one of the best parts of the game.
I wish there had been more from it, though. I thought there would be more to it than just that. They kind of spoiled it in the trailer, and then you built up this hype, and then when you did it, it was kind of like, oh, it's exactly what was in the trailer, and there's nothing.
Hey, that's what I expected to have.
More unique.
Right.
It was kind of short too.
Yeah. That'd have been cool. That was,
I still like Halo 2's multiplayer more than Reach and Halo 3. That was just the most fun to play. And I hated Reach in the beta, but now that I've been playing multiplayer, or as much as I have been, I like this multiplayer more than Halo 3's. So I just don't understand why. It's much more smooth, more whatever. But I still like Halo 2 more.
You mean Halo 2's multiplayer?
Yeah, online multiplayer. I liked it because it was just so much fun. I don't know, it was just...
I think you're just nostalgic about it or something.
That could be very nostalgic.
Well, Halo 2 was where matchmaking and multiplayer really came into play.
Yeah,
and it was just so much fun. I never recreated that in Halo 3, although it was fun. And now Reach, the experience in Reach is a lot. It was a lot more fun than Halo 3, and it's a little bit more challenging than Halo 3. Halo 3 was kind of silly in a way.
I'm just so addicted to the credit system and the challenge system.
Right.
Like that's the big thing for me, and the armor abilities really keep it varied too. I enjoy that.
Yeah, that was a nice addition.
Yeah.
Great addition, actually.
I don't know, do you guys prefer the armor abilities over the equipment? Because
oh, yes, certainly... very much so.
Oh, yes. God. Yeah, oh, God. I cannot live without Sprint or Jetpack now.
I need a Jetpack now. Like, I can't play Halo without a Jetpack.
If I don't have Sprint, well, I mean, it's I like, can, oh, God, it's so
given
slow.
The choice,
unless I'm injured.
I don't know, I find Sprint to be probably the most useful one. Like, I'm using Sprint right now for Headhunter.
Yeah, I like that one a lot, too, because I'm used to Call of Duty.
After playing Call of Duty, I kept going to Halo 3 and pressing down my control stick trying to run.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Now I can actually do it,
too.
Well,
like, why am I so slow?
That's not exactly the loadout for Halo Reach, though. It's the bumper. I don't think you can change that to where it's the stick, can you?
No, but I adjusted.
That's one thing about video games I wish was different, was the ability to custom map your controls. Like, I know, like, Fallout 3 and some other games do it, but you can't, for a lot of first-person shooters, you can't custom map controls.
That's why you get it for the PC.
Yeah, that is true. Although there isn't Halo 3 or Halo Reach for the PC yet.
Well,
I say yet.
They haven't
anticipation
Halo 3 PC
that
yet.
They come out with it eventually.
I don't know. It's been 3 years, and Halo 3 hasn't come out for the computer. Halo 2 came in how many years after it came out for the console?
Three years.
Like a couple.
You guys might not see that at all. I think it'd be cool.
Because the Halo franchise is Xbox's staple series. It's like it's what got the Xbox to become so popular in the beginning. So I don't know if they'll do it the same way they did before. But FPSs aren't as fun on the computer as they are on the console. As strategy games are better on the computer than the console, from what
I don't like aiming with my mouse.
I do. For
I don't know. I actually found with Halo 2 Vista that the controller works a lot better for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, the controller is a lot better for...
I'm a controller person. I don't like
keyboard. Have you ever
That's probably because I've just played a lot of Xbox, but it just seems to fit a lot better. But I still go, like, Halo? Whenever I play TF2, I still use mouse and that kind of stuff.
Have you guys played Halo Wars or any strategy games on the console?
Yeah, I'm not a big RTS person, so the Halo Wars kind of didn't really fit the bill for me. I mean, it's a like good game with a good storyline, but...
I like Halo Wars, but I'm not good at RTS, though.
Yeah, I find playing those games on the computer is a lot more fun than on the console. It's a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, opinion. It's actually meant for the console.
You and most people, though.
It's actually meant for the console in that way.
Yeah.
What's sad is Halo Wars isn't for the computer, and it should be.
Yeah.
I would play it then, because I can't play it as RTS on the console. I just can't. It's not the same.
Having all the different controls that you can to move around the map quickly, set units up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the way they did it on the console was pretty intuitive, but it was still limited.
Halo Wars is good for, like, your first RTS, too, because it doesn't have, like, the in-depth strategy of StarCraft.
Yeah,
it's kind of...
And then Microsoft had to shut down the studio who made it.
Yeah.
Freaking Age of Empires was such a great series, and then Microsoft shuts down Ensemble Studios for... Anyways.
Yeah.
Get used to it. It's going to happen more.
Well, I mean, at least Bungie will still be around.
Yeah, because they got out before they got shut down.
Yeah, thankfully. Because they're good.
It's only a matter of time for 343 Industries. It's only a matter of time.
Wonder what they're going to do.
Next. Well, 343 Industries was kind of endorsed by Microsoft. Everything else wasn't really necessarily endorsed. It was just kind of absorbed.
Activision took the Call of Duty series and just gave it to a bunch of other developers to create their own installments in the series. I can see Infinity Ward getting angry about that, and now this whole scandal with whatever happened last year, if you remember.
Yeah.
With Activision and Infinity Ward and how they broke apart.
Yes.
And now they're just going to milk the cow.
Yeah.
Halo's as next.
Well, that's... And Halo's out of Infinity Ward's hand. They're not going to be Activision at all.
Wait.
Right?
What?
Who what?
I'm confused on what you just said.
No, you
said... Say that again.
Halo is definitely not going to be in Activision's hands, right?
No, Activision's just a publisher.
Yes.
How they signed it was basically that we get to retain all the rights.
Yeah, and didn't Bungie's now affiliated with Activision now, aren't they? Yeah, I think that's who they partnered with this time.
Yeah, that's their partner for their new game. That's their publisher.
Yeah.
What is their new game? Halo. Does anyone have any
idea? I
think they hinted at it being an MMO or massively multiplayer online game today.
That would be amazing.
Really?
They said, one of the Bungie employees, I don't remember who, said something about, wouldn't it be cool if you had like a persistent world that would always be there for you?
They really said that.
Yeah.
It was
on Kotaku.
I hope it's an MMO.
I couldn't make this shit up.
Well, they probably won't announce anything official for a couple
years
because Halo Reach
just came out. Well, no, I wouldn't have any reason to.
Wouldn't have any reason to, but you could. Anyway, continue.
Wait, what? Continue with what?
What Brent was saying. He was on.
No, I was saying they probably won't announce anything for a couple years because Reach just came out. And they announced Halo 3 like 2 years after Halo 2 came out and 2 years after Halo 1 came out. So,
right.
I think... Because if they announce something now, it would kind of distract from Reach. So there's a timing for these things. I'm sure in about 2 years or a little less, we'll know a lot more.
Well, they could announce it before then, I guess. I don't know.
No, they wouldn't announce it because they wouldn't announce it that soon. They want Reach to have its time.
If someone hinted at it already, I would say not 2 years, maybe one.
Maybe a year and a half. Not just a year. I mean, that's too soon. Although they're bringing out Call of Duty games every year now, and that's probably going to get old very fast. They're probably
going to do that with Halo
games sooner than that, but I don't think Bungie will announce their game for quite some time.
Bungie's got complete control of their project, so it's not going to fall into the same pattern of the Call of Duties or Microsoft or anything. Microsoft's completely out of it now, so they're gonna be able to follow their own pattern on how they release this. So,
but Microsoft owns Halo now, right?
Yes,
they always have. Microsoft owns Halo.
They always have.
Yeah, which I kind of find it sad for.
So I'm sure in a year, it's like maybe a half, 343 Industries will announce their new hit. Maybe, well, since Microsoft stated they want to do the yearly thing, like 343. I mean, not 343, like Call of Duty.
Oh, God.
So in about a year, I'm sure we'll see something, maybe even less, of 343 announcing something or Microsoft, because they want to follow that same pattern of Call of Duty.
Yeah, they'll crank them out. They'll crank them out. We're going to be talking about it.
I just don't think it can be the same. I think I might have, even when the new one comes out, I might have to just stay with Reach.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years is a long time. I think Reach is, you know, the pinnacle. It's kind of like the end of an era type of thing. I think,
mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
In a way, it's time to move on. I mean, if they continue from this point on, I think it is getting to the point of milking the cow. I mean,
yeah, I'm already getting the course.
Tired of, you know,
you're to bleep all that, aren't
in
you?
In a way, the Halo games. I mean, I enjoy Halo Reach a lot. It's just I'm at that point where I want to move on to something different, something new.
Yeah.
Just the thought of it feels like when they continued Scrubs without JD to me.
Wait, they had this part with Scrubs without JD? Really?
Yeah. They replaced him with a girl character that acted exactly like JD. They replaced JD and Turk, like the whole cast.
How do you do that?
Exactly. That's like
Halo without Bungie. It'd be like replacing Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones. You just can't do that. It would just not be the same.
Unless it's Shia LaBeouf, which they totally were.
No, they're not going to do it. Shut up, Jake.
They were leading up to it.
It would be just like that. You know, it's like Harrison Ford's the company, and they switch it out. You know, it's just not the same. No matter
it's like
how.
If they made a new Indiana Jones with aliens. No, wait.
Yeah. Wait, they did. Yeah, I thought that was just a good way to kill the franchise there, how they did that. I don't know why they put it aliens with Indiana Jones, because that's Indiana Jones has never been about that.
It's always been religious artifacts,
right?
Or like items of legend that you always hear about.
Yeah, but
like
the artifact they went after was is actually real. It's just George Lucas.
It's real, but it was like an internet artifact.
I mean, the first half of the movie is great. I enjoyed the first half. It's just the second half, and George Lucas's ideas get brought into that. It's just And even Steven Spielberg in a interview said that he was like, you know, baffled at the whole thing, and just finally was like, okay, fine, we'll do the interdimensional beings thing or whatever. Freaking George Lucas, freaking ruining everything. Anyway,
yeah, that's Hollywood for you though.
It's George Lucas.
I'm George Lucas, and I want to try this in Star Wars.
I want Indiana Jones 5. I can't wait for that though. They better redeem themselves. And George Lucas should not have as much input.
He just have it taken
away
from him.
They should contact me. They should get their info from me.
Okay, in this scene, Harrison Ford takes off his shirt. That's been the last 20 scenes. Yeah, it is.
Oh, that would be great.
We heard you like Harrison Ford.
Anyway.
Boy. Was there anything else that you guys could pick up from the campaign that you guys want to talk about? Yes, Brent?
Do you guys like that elites are like full size now?
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, hunters.
They do look scary.
When they're standing still, the elites, they just rock back and forth. It looks so weird on camera. They just rock back and forth. Yeah. I was filming my machinima, and I was getting a shot of an elite just standing there, and he would just go back and forth in this big motion, like rocking like a rocking chair, back and forth. That's annoying. But other than that, I still hate elites.
I don't remember that.
I love the hunters now. They're actually intimidating and hard to beat.
Oh, jeez.
Like,
yeah,
they remind me of
they're
the
scary.
Hunters from the books. Yeah, they're actually scary now. Like, remember in the books, the hunter killed someone. Like a Spartan, he just killed him, annihilated him, and everyone else got injured from it. One hunter. Now I feel like hunters are actually what they're supposed to be.
They're hard to kill.
Yes, they're awesome now.
Yeah, that's the way they should be.
That's the way they should be. It's almost like a boss battle a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Hunters are the ultimate boss battle.
Halo 3 was too easy. Like, the first hunter you see, there's a turret sitting right there, and you just hop on the turret and shoot at it.
But in Halo Reach, they can jump, too. They can move.
Yeah.
I know, they're
scary. They can freaking move. It's like, you think, like, the old ones, they were kind of slow and bulky. I mean, they're still bulky, but they can move.
It's never, like, in Firefight, it's never, like, hunters. It's like, oh god, hunters.
Yeah.
That's the reaction they should get.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness, hunters.
Not as good.
This is not good.
The Halo 2 campaign was too easy. Like Jake said about the hunters and that like first second level, the turret being right there. That was kinda right.
Yeah, as soon as they came out of the gate, 50%. Pepper them and you're done.
Is there anything else?
Target locator.
That was pretty cool, actually.
We need more of it. I mean, you got Firefight. You just got to see it there.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was a nice addition. Granted, it was only two shots, and it was very sparsely utilized in the game.
In the campaign, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it works great in Firefight. Although, I haven't actually sat down and played an actual game of Firefight where you see how long it can actually last. Because it's always been matchmaking so far.
Well, because of the weekly challenge.
Well, yeah.
I've been playing Firefight this week. To the point of Brent talking about, like, the challenges make you want to play.
Right.
And, you know, I've been loving matchmaking, but I've been playing Firefight because of the challenge.
Yep. Me too.
And the target locator. I've just been doing random matchmaking, and everybody's like, target locator. I want the target locator. Target locator. Me. People love that thing. I think it's because you don't get to use it that much.
Because it's awesome.
It is awesome. It's a hammer and dog.
About an airstrike. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I only used it once, and I betrayed my teammate on accident.
That's another thing, is that every time you get betrayed, it's like you get an instant boot.
It really Someone sucks. Betrayed me 7 times today, and the boot screen never came up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They must have put an update out for that.
The latest update's supposed to fix that.
Was it the latest one? I thought it was supposed to be the one that's upcoming.
No, that's this one. It's supposed to take more.
So how about that ODST? Such great replay value, right?
7 times getting betrayed is ridiculous, though.
Yeah, that should never happen.
I have a question. Out of all the Halo games, where do you think ODST falls in the ranks of, like, being, you know, the best one, the worst one, most fun to play?
I thought the campaign part was really good. I really liked the storyline behind it. In terms
I thought
of
it was
fire
kind of weird and confusing to follow. It was kind of...
I mean, in terms of the firefight stuff, it was a great addition. It was just... It wasn't really recognized its full potential yet.
The firefight was a test. That was a test.
Yeah.
I just could never get over the fact that they didn't have firefight matchmaking. Because they were going to have that.
Well, I mean, remember, it did start out that it was going to be kind of an expansion type deal. Not necessarily a new... full-fledged game.
But when they went to making us pay full price, they should have had firefight matchmaking.
Yeah, and who made us pay full price? What company was that? What company?
I can't say it.
What company would have us pay full price and, you know, just pay extra for a little thing that doesn't matter?
Ford.
Is that Microsoft? I think that is Microsoft. Yeah, that's right.
LucasArts.
I made a game with zombies.
He's in it. That game is so weird.
Sky Studios. That's who charges.
Vodka. Halo Reach is sponsored by Sky Vodka.
Sky
the Spartan drink.
Ride the rainbow.
So where did you guys think ODST falls, then, in comparison to the other games?
Oh, I think ODST was...
Definitely above
an expansion.
Halo
3. It was an expansion. And you gotta think,
well, in terms of campaign value, let's just talk about the campaign.
I wouldn't put it over Halo 3. Now, come on, that's a stretch. Come on.
For me,
above Halo 3?
Yeah.
It's campaign.
Honestly think the campaign for...
Oh, campaign-wise or just overall?
No, campaign.
Campaign. Because you can't really do overall since it isn't a full-fledged game, like you guys said.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I think that
even though we paid full price,
that's what I'm saying. If I paid full price, I think that I should be able to rank it up with all the other games I paid full price for.
Well, we'll do both. How about we do both? Because the campaign.
Like, I'm not gonna lie. On the scale, like ODST's at the very bottom. If I rank it up again,
yes, I agree. I agree.
Because I consider it expansion. I don't.
That's what I'm saying. But I paid full price. It wasn't expansion priced.
I know. So you have to say it's the worst then.
But you also have to consider that half of that was Halo 3 matchmaking, the full package.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You got that with Halo 3.
I think Bungie did, or we all know that it wasn't worth that much, and we all know that the marketing engine at work made the price of ODST. So we all know this should have been a $25-$30 game.
Yeah, Bungie wanted it to be like a $29 thing, and then Microsoft said no, it has enough in there that it's going to be retailed at full price.
Exactly. $59.99. Bungie wanted it less. Yes. So based on that, let's just base it on that. So say it was. Forget about what you paid.
But it wasn't. That's the thing. I mean, I can't do those what if situations because that's not how it was.
I guess
they're insignificant. What I'm saying is the what if
it's what it should have been.
Yeah.
Put
it that way. Wasn't what it
okay,
been.
Okay. If
we can ask that question that way. Why not?
Yeah.
ODST was
so
lacking a lot.
Forget about what you paid
I'm just questioning the significance of asking what if. I mean,
since we pay full price, we can rank it with the other ones.
Well, that's a whole discussion in itself.
I mean, what if Halo was an RTS instead of an FPS? What if Halo was the Legend of Zelda?
Well, there was an RTS version.
Oh my god!
No, but I'm saying if it had kept its RTS status, if it had never been an FPS like it was now. When you think of Halo, what do you think of? RTS or FPS?
FPS.
Exactly, but what if it had been an RTS instead? And for a while it was.
It was. It'd be like StarCraft.
When Halo was originally being developed, it was an RTS for Mac.
What if it was and it flopped and then... do you think the Xbox would have...
What if it had come out on Mac? What if it wasn't on Xbox?
Yeah. What if there was no Halo on Xbox?
I think it would have went the way of the Dreamcast, dude.
Halo wouldn't be as popular, that's for sure, but...
I think Xbox could have gone the way of the Dreamcast.
Let's just pretend Halo didn't exist. I mean... I'm asking, what would have happened to the Xbox?
I don't think it would.
I don't think it would have survived.
It would have been like
that's what I'm saying. It would have went the way of the Dreamcast. Like it came out, might have gotten a little buzz, and then died off from PS2.
It could have been like
GameCube
the PS3,
still
like the more expensive console that slowly gained popularity over time.
I liked the Dreamcast.
The Dreamcast was cool. I'm not saying it was a bad console. I'm saying it went. It was discontinued. Because it didn't
sell. I'm sad for the Dreamcast. That sucked. They had the best basketball game.
I thought ODST, when I finished it, when I was done with playing ODST, I thought it felt like an expansion pack.
Yep.
That's all I got to say. Yeah. I don't care what I paid for it, what happened with the marketing, all I know and all I follow, all I know when I went into it, and when I was done with it, I felt like it was an expansion pack. Right. The beta package that they throw in with it, that's fine. That's great. We were going to pay for it anyway. I would have bought the game associated with it anyway because I'm a Halo fan. That's just me. And I think a lot of people would agree with me in this room. They would have done it anyway, but I try to put that aside. We'll pay the extra $20-$30. We could definitely have a whole discussion on the marketing, but honestly, by itself, I have to try to remove myself from that because we're going to be paying money for the next 3 years on DLC, on everything that's going to become Reach and whatever 343i pay throws out. Yes, I'm already sold. You've got my credit card.
I think ODS should have been a downloadable extension of Halo 3.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, that's what Bungie was going for.
And they were going for that. No, everybody, that's not in question here. We have to stop talking about ODST, what it should have cost. We know that. We all know.
I wish it had more replay value then.
I like to play the campaign again, but Firefight's obviously done. But not so.
I would have played that all the time if it had Firefight matchmaking. I would have been on that instead of Halo 3.
Matchmaking, I would have been playing that instead of Halo 3.
It would have sold more copies that way.
Yep.
Yeah, that game would have took off if it just had Firefight matchmaking.
Firefight matchmaking so is still really buggy, though.
It's just laggy. It's not buggy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, laggy. Sorry, bad terminology.
Yeah,
it's laggy. It's...
In terms of the campaigns, then, not caring about the price or anything, just in terms of the campaign and story, where would you rank ODST with the others, or where would you rank any of them? Which one would be the best or worst?
I can give you my rank.
In order, go ahead.
From greatest to least, I'm going to say and Halo Reach. Halo 1. Halo ODST. Halo 2 and Halo 3.
Why did you choose that order?
Just from my experience of how I thought the quality of the campaign was, how fun it was to play. Based off of how hard it was to get through Legendary. That kind of stuff.
Halo 3 ranked last?
Just the campaign seemed really... It didn't seem like it had much of a backstory behind it. It seemed like I already knew everything. I could anticipate every move that Bungie was going to throw at me.
Hmm.
It wasn't challenging, and it wasn't emotionally connecting in terms of story for me.
Yeah. Good. What about you, Brent?
from first to last.
Yeah.
I have to say, it's kind of a tie between Halo Ooh. 3 and Halo Reach, but I guess I'll go ahead and pick Halo 3, just because I like the varied environments. I didn't feel like there was it's not Reach's fault. It was obviously had to be placed on the planet. You couldn't, like, wander around anywhere across the universe like Master Chief was.
Well, this is the question. Hold on. Are we asking this basis on how well it plays or how you like the story?
Your own
like a mix of both. Like, I mean, if...
A mixture? Okay.
It's just pretty much your own overall criteria.
Yeah, so campaign, I guess it's... Story, gameplay, anything really.
Okay.
Just in terms of what you thought was your favorite and why.
Yeah, so Halo 3, Halo Reach, Halo 1, Halo 2, and then ODST. Hmm. Last.
ODST last?
Yeah.
Okay. Granted, I disagree, but okay.
I hate Buck. I hate all those characters. Their models are ugly. Character model. I mean, for real.
You're basing it off of their character models?
I think they kind of tried too hard in ODST a little bit to make us feel for the characters.
Yeah, I think that's the problem they have in Halo Reach. I mean, they want me to care about these characters, but they don't, you know, give me any exposition into the character's life. They don't show me
exactly. That's why I connected with the book a lot more. I mean, the Fall of Reach, that book was great.
And
it gave a great backstory to Master Chief, and now I have a better understanding of the character and, you know, that kind of stuff.
I didn't care about the Halo universe until I read Fall of Reach. Then I actually got really into Halo and cared about the third one coming out.
Yeah.
Just a quick disclaimer, I'm playing Rumble Pit with my sound muted, and I'm kicking everyone's butt.
Oh yeah, I always play with my sound muted.
Maybe you should do that from now on.
And I'm still being able to carry on a coherent conversation in this podcast.
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm playing Rumble Pit.
I'm trying to get the assist achievement, or not achievement, challenge.
So what were your favorites, Keith, in order? Or Keat?
I love that.
I mean, Keat. Keat, so what were your favorites in order?
Keat.
Either way it works. I have to say, and see, this is hard for me. This is the reason why I was saying, like, I'm based on gameplay. There's a lot of different factors. And if I had to make it simple, and it's hard for me to do this, because even after I answer, I'm going to just say, oh, by the way. The best campaign overall, it's got to be the first Halo.
I can agree with that.
I agree with that.
I mean, granted, I think Reach is better.
But that's how nostalgic I am about Halo.
Right. But, I mean, for people that loved Halo from the beginning, that would make sense. Because that's where it all begins.
But right away, but a close second, and very close, is Reach.
Right.
So, I those are almost tied for first. So second is definitely Halo 2 by far. And then everything else is, Halo 3 was great to end the trilogy.
Yeah.
It's a nice return of the king. Nice way to close out the trilogy. You got to look at it that way. Halo 2 is an Empire Strikes Back type of situation. So, trilogy-wise.
Right.
So, ODST is an expansion. A side story. A book, in a way.
Okay, yeah.
If I may.
But, I don't know. For me, I tasked more with ODST than I did than Halo 3. That's why I kind of rated it above it.
Halo 3 could have had, if it had some ODST things, that would have been nice. That's in a way why Halo 3 has ODST attached to it in a way. It's like...
Yeah, well, it's based off of Halo 3 engine.
Yeah. So it kind of should have been... I don't know, there's definitely seems like there's things in there that they wish they should have put in Halo 3.
I'm finding it really hard to get assists when I'm killing everybody.
I tell you, Reach is really the nostalgic part of Reach is makes me on a daily basis make me want to play and make me think about that game. I've never had that. I don't think I've ever had that since Halo 1.
Yeah, I agree.
So I have to say that Halo Reach, they poured enough into it. Listen, you could complain about aspects of a game, but it definitely feels like a swan song to me.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I think that's all I care about, because I mean, I'm getting up there in my gaming years, and I'm just like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to focus on the positive.
Right.
And they did a lot of positive things in this freaking game. And I've heard, out of any game, and you know what you usually hear when a game is launched, you hear the same stuff. I don't understand it. I can't aim, my BR, my this, my that. I don't, because it's a different game.
I said that at the beginning.
Yeah, and everybody does. You hear this all the time. Like, I don't get it. But eventually everybody falls in.
Right.
Reach, out of all the games from Halo 1 to Halo 2 to Halo 3 to Halo Reach to ODST, everything. Because ODST was completely different gameplay. To Reach, from those three, two, these, all these leaps, Reach has the least complaints I've ever heard about.
Right.
The least.
Yeah, I would think so.
Halo 2 to Halo 3 was horrific.
Well, and then there was the whole...
people complain about that than any other release ever.
Yeah, everyone was also complaining about the length of Halo 2 and how it ended.
Well, that's campaign. I'm just... Yeah, I know. I'm... Yeah.
Well, are we kind of on the topic of campaign?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm talking about, you know, the weapons and all that stuff.
Right.
But yes, you're right. You know what? I didn't realize. I was getting off topic.
No, we're kind of on topic. Kind of.
So we're talking about Reach.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we've talked a lot at this point, and I think what we're going to end up doing is splitting up the show into two parts. So let's go ahead and start wrapping some stuff up, and we'll probably try to record again in a few days if you guys have stuff to do. Because I know I need to get to bed soon so I can get up for class early.
Oh, yeah, crap. I'm going to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter tomorrow.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and end the show now. We'll pick up with episode 237, the rest of our campaign discussion, and the user submissions that we have. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. This has been episode 236 of Podtacular. And we will see you guys in a few days.
Love you.